morning and welcome to the 420th episode of Travel Itch Radio. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my friend and co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, and this is the 10th season of Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you enjoy the pleasures of travel from the comfort of your armchair.
Every week at this time, we talk to people representing destinations, hotels, airlines, railroads, car rental companies, and others in the world of travel and hospitality. From authors and bloggers to broadcasters and publicists, if it's got anything to do with travel, it's got everything to do with Travel Itch Radio.
And our honored guest tonight is Tom Martinelli, and our subject is travel by rail in New York State. Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, Tom.
Thanks so much for having me, Dan and Mary Ellen.
Well, we're glad you're here. First of all, Tom, I love trains, streetcars, anything on tracks. But when I was a student at Syracuse University commuting from northern New Jersey, I always went by bus or car, except during a blizzard when a train was the only thing running. So my question to you is, can a person reach virtually every major city and place in New York State by train?
They can. There are 27 direct Amtrak stops in New York State, and then there are more places that you can reach through Amtrak bus connections that provide a connection right from the Amtrak station. So virtually most of the geographic regions are reachable. The Finger Lakes are difficult, the Thousand Islands, but most of the Adirondacks, you know, Hudson Valley, Capital Region, Western New York are all reachable by Amtrak.
Good to know. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but isn't New York by Rail a magazine that promotes train travel in New York State, and is it available only on the train, or can people find it elsewhere as well?
It is a magazine. It started as a magazine 18 years ago in 2004, and it promotes Amtrak getaways throughout our coverage area, including things to do, major events, and other reasons to hop an Amtrak train. We currently have a website, newyorkbyrail.com, and also a weekly e-newsletter and social media sites that promote timely content. So our program has expanded to an integrated marketing program that includes digital, and the print magazine is still there. It's the cornerstone of our program. It is available on the train, but after COVID, we are temporarily not on the train as Amtrak is not distributing any marketing materials on board its trains. But we are being distributed at Amtrak stations, New York State rest areas, consumer travel shows, and we even mail out copies of the magazine.
So could you tell us, Tom, how did it get started?
So it got started because the Amtrak marketing representative for New York State wanted a publication and a resource that just spoke to his territory, which was New York State and the trains that go into Canada and Vermont. He was given marketing and collateral material from Amtrak that represented their entire nationwide coverage area. And he felt that that didn't do a good enough job of selling people riding the train in New York State only. So we customized information and a resource guide that would speak to the destinations and the places that Amtrak would take you throughout New York State. So there was a need for, like I said, customized material. And that's how we began 18 years ago. We were the first state magazine, Amtrak State Magazine, and there have only been two or three, but we certainly have been the longest standing state Amtrak magazine.
Now, and New York is such an enormous state. We're curious about how much can someone see if he or she wants to travel exclusively by rail? In other words, what's the geographic coverage area of New York by rail?
So it goes from New York City up through the Hudson River Valley, goes through Albany, and that's where the bulk of the ridership is. Mm-hmm. And there's about 12 or 13 trains that run daily through that area. The train then continues on through the Adirondacks. There is one train that goes into Vermont, the Ethan Allen Express. It goes through Schenectady and Saratoga Springs and cuts mm-hmm. over Lake Champlain. And there's trains that travel westbound from Albany into western New York through Syracuse, Rochester, Niagara Falls. There's one train a day that crosses the border into Canada that goes as far north as Toronto. And there's one that goes through the Adirondacks into Montreal. So it's a pretty comprehensive service area that covers virtually all of New York State. And as I mentioned, the trains go beyond New York State.
Hmm. Oh, wow. We're talking New York train travel with Tom Martinelli.
Tom, obviously New York is a major Amtrak hub with trains going in so many different directions. Would you recommend any specific train trip itineraries for people starting at Penn Station, New York?
Well, it depends on how much time you have. If you're looking for something that you can do easily on a day trip, I would recommend Rhinebeck or Hudson, New York. Those mm-hmm. are less than 2 hours from New York City, and they're great places that are close to the train station. So you can grab a cab or a ride share, and you can visit those destinations virtually without a car. If you want to go a little further, I would recommend Saratoga Springs, which is a great destination. There are generally two trains a day that go to Saratoga Springs. We've got things like the racing season is about to open, and there's a lot of things to do in Saratoga Springs. The train is not operating currently across the border, but Montreal is one of my favorite destinations. It's about 10 hours from New York City, so you have to be prepared, but it's very picturesque, and it won a National Geographic had said that it was one of the top 10 most scenic train rides in the world, the train that goes through Lake Champlain. So you can get a sense of how beautiful it is to ride the train. Those 10 hours go by very quickly when you're gazing out the window.
Mm.
Can you tell us what's happening with the new Daniel Patrick Moynihan Departure Hall at Penn Station?
Sure. The Moynihan Hall at Penn Station opened earlier in January of 2021. It's a grand and spacious train hall, and it features a sky-lit atrium, and it's located in the James Farley Post Office. So it's across 8th Avenue from where the old New York Penn Station, I mean, that's still in existence, but the gates for Amtrak are now across the street at Moynihan Hall. It's long overdue and provides travelers with a high-quality experience and modern amenities. And it also hosts Long Island Railroad, so it's an opportunity to easily connect to Long Island destinations if you're coming from upstate New York, or if you're wanting to go from Long Island to upstate, you can easily connect at Moynihan to get a train to go upstate. But it's a beautiful, you know, the old Penn Station was a building of beautiful architecture. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, that changed with Madison Square Garden a number of years ago, and it lost its grandeur. But it's back now at Moynihan Hall, and I think it's a great first-class experience for Amtrak riders.
New York has two venerable train hubs between Penn Station and Grand Central. Does Amtrak also go out of Grand Central?
They do not currently. However, sometimes when there's track work happening, for instance, within the last 2 years, they had to do some work on one of the bridges, and they had to reroute the trains so they couldn't go into Penn Station, and they used Grand Central. So they use it as a backup, but currently the Amtrak trains out of New York travel exclusively out of Penn Station.
So isn't it good news that the Biden administration is working with the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey to restore those tracks and tunnels leading into Penn Station?
It's very good news, and it's long overdue. You know, the Gateway Project is a very important project. You know, people don't understand the capital investments that are needed to run a good train service, and it's no different. You know, we have a lot of projects that are in need of restoration, and so it really is something that we need to invest in, and it's great to hear that they've identified so many projects that will benefit both train riders and subway riders. And so it's long overdue, and I think that it'll be money well spent.
Hmm. And when President Biden was a U.S. senator from Delaware, didn't he ride Amtrak both ways every day so he could see his family? So it's a good thing for Amtrak that we have a president who likes train travel, no?
It's great to have friends in the White House. And in addition to President Biden, Transportation Secretary Buttigieg is a big supporter of Amtrak, and they know the value. I mean, President Biden rode it every day because he was able to be home with his family. And, you know, he knew that, you know, he could get work done, and it got him from Wilmington to D.C. It worked very well, and he sees the value of it. So I think he's under the mindset that he wants to invest in trains. He wants to invest in infrastructure and sees the value in what they do for getting around.
Absolutely. We're talking New York train travel with Tom Martinelli.
Tom, how have things changed in the 18 years you've worked with Amtrak?
Well, one of the biggest changes has been that they broke out what they call the state-supported service. So any route less than 750 miles has to be now paid for by the states. So Amtrak now has three lines of business. They have the long-distance trains. They have the Northeast Corridor, which is Boston to Washington, the Acela, and then they have what's called the state-supported service. And the route that I cover falls under the state-supported service. And there are 29 of these routes across the country, and there's four in New York State as part of the New York by Rail coverage area. So New York State actually funds the Amtrak service in New York State because the service does not run, it runs at a deficit. So Amtrak shifted that cost onto the states, and it's been a change in terms of, you know, each state is different in terms of how they want to invest in the service and what kind of amenities. You know, they all run at a loss, so it's a matter of, you know, how much they can invest in amenities. Do they want to have services, you know, that are good for customers? And so I think that's been the biggest change in the 18 years, and I think you'll see that, you know, continue as Amtrak has identified expansion, and a lot of it will be through the states. What they've identified is routes within 2 hours of each other. That's where they see the growth, that they would compete with, say, airlines. It's a lot easier to get on a train for a couple of hours than to go to an airport and have to fly or even drive.
That's for sure. What does the typical Amtrak ridership and customer look like, Tom?
The customer base is very diverse. There's a lot of business travelers that take the train, particularly between New York City and Albany, where you have the state capital, a lot of government employees. But it's also students. You've got families, seniors. You know, so it's a mix of business and leisure. There's about 2 million people that ride the Amtrak trains throughout New York State within our coverage area. So that's like outside of New York City. So, you know, it does have a couple of million people that get to ride the service, and it gets them around New York State.
Is that 2 million people per year, per month?
It's per year. It's per year.
Okay.
So this is north of New York City. So this would not include if someone's taking a train, say, from Boston to New York City or Washington to New York City. That would be excluded. So it would be anyone traveling from New York City north or going into New York City from upstate New York. And I think there's a lot of opportunity to expand that, and we're hoping with some of the federal funds that we will have an opportunity, because some of that money is earmarked for adding more trains. And if you add more trains, you know, you make it easier for people to travel, and they may then elect to take the train rather than drive or take an airplane.
Tom, what are some of your favorite Amtrak places to visit in your coverage area?
Well, I mentioned Saratoga Springs is one of my favorites. Montreal is another one. Syracuse, I know, Dan, you went to Syracuse University. My son also went to Syracuse. And, you know, you can take the train there. And there's, you know, it's a great city. Western New York has a lot of these old cities that are, you know, beautiful architecture, a lot of great things to do. So Albany is another, you know, neat destination that you know, has a lot of things to do, you know, good restaurants. You know, there's a lot of them, but those are some of my favorites. I mentioned Montreal. I mean, I love taking the train to Montreal, and you know, you're in another country, and it, you know, very French. There's a, you know, French influence, but you know, it's not really that far away.
Tom, what are some of the challenges you face working with Amtrak?
I think some of the challenges have to do with the fact that Amtrak has always been fighting for its funding each year. Mm-hmm. They have to wage, you know, an effort to renew the funding. And some administrations have been more forthcoming with supporting Amtrak. So because of the challenges with funding, Amtrak sometimes, and also even the states, because the trains run at a deficit, you know, they may not fund the trains at, you know, a level that would provide all the amenities that, or, you know, maybe the ticket prices, you know, may not be as competitive because, you know, again, they need to, you know, they need to provide the service. So, you know, there's challenges with funding. There's challenges with the state-supported service. But I think that hopefully some of those challenges will go away with this infrastructure bill.
Well, obviously, COVID-19 was a challenge for all of us in the travel world. So we'd like to know how COVID impacted Amtrak's ridership in the New York by rail area.
Well, it fell off the table, you know, big time. I mean, the ridership fell about 90%.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was almost down to nothing. And, you know, what happened is they kept on running the trains. They did cut back. The trains didn't run across the borders. Vermont, you know, the train to Vermont didn't run. But for the most part, they still ran the service. And, you know, even though they were empty trains, Amtrak had a policy, which I think only recently was lifted, where they would only sell 50% of the capacity. So you were assured of having the seat next to you empty unless you traveled with someone. So it really impacted things. It's come back, but it's still not there. I think we're only at about, it's still off by 60%. So it's going to take a few years. Amtrak is estimating that it will take still a few years to get back to where they were. You know, they had a record year in 19 where they had over 30 million riders nationwide. And it was trending upward, and then it just fell off with COVID. So I think they've weathered the storm. I think that they have gotten the message out that they're a safe transportation option, you know, unlike the airlines where, you know, they're trying to still sell all the seats as much as they can. And Amtrak is saying, look, you know, we're going to be more cautious and, you know, we're going to have more space available. So I think that's going to help them in the long run. And hopefully some of those riders that they converted, you know, will stay with them in the long run. But it's been a challenge, and but I think it's starting to come back, and you know, will continue now as you know, COVID hopefully is behind us.
Okay, you're listening to Travel Edge Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee. We're on iTunes, blogtalkradio.com, and Facebook. Check out the archive show at your convenience. And tonight we're talking with New York train travel expert Tom Martinelli. Tom, in New York State, how easy is it to connect from Amtrak stations to downtowns or tourist attractions near the train stops? I'm thinking specifically about September 8th when the Baseball Hall of Fame is going to have its 2021 inductions.
Well, Cooperstown, you know, we do cover Cooperstown a lot, and a lot of, you know, their target is New York City. So if you don't have a car, you know, can either rent a car or, you know, you can get on a train to get up to Cooperstown. But there's not an Amtrak station near Cooperstown. So the best way would be to take the train to Albany if you're coming from the city. There's a rental car right at the train station, and then it's about an hour and a half drive from the train station to Cooperstown. So you're looking at about 4 hours altogether, and, you know, again, some destinations are within walking distance of the train stations. You know, I mentioned Hudson.
Yes.
Obviously, yeah, and I mentioned, you know, Rhinebeck is fairly close. But some are, you know, miles away. So you have to then, you know, try to plan. And, you know, there is ride sharing, there are cabs, sometimes there are shuttles available. So, you know, it really depends on the destination. But I think that's one of the things that we do with our website and also our publication is we try to manage expectations so that if people are planning a trip to an attraction like the Baseball Hall of Fame, they have a sense of how long it will take them. So they don't, you know, we don't they don't get frustrated thinking, oh, it's only a close distance to the train station. So with a little bit of planning, you know, it's all very possible.
And speaking of Dan's favorite places, do you know if New York State has railroad museums or tourist rides pulled by steam locomotives?
It does. It has quite a few. There's a really neat one in the Utica that runs out of the Utica train station called the Adirondack Scenic Railroad. And it goes up to Old Forge right from Utica. They do a lot of excursion trains, Polar Express and, you know, dining trains and other themes. There's a great one in Kingston called the Catskill Mountain Railroad. So, you know, there's about a half a dozen throughout New York State. And, you know, it's a great experience.
Can you recommend other places our listeners might want to take Amtrak to experience this year?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, we're in the summer, and, you know, Saratoga, again, is probably my first recommendation. The Saratoga race course opens on July 15th, and the service, the Saratoga service will be reinstated July 19th. So, you know, that's one I would highly recommend. Another is the New York State Fair. Amtrak runs a seasonal train that actually stops right at the New York State Fair. So it couldn't be more convenient than that. So it's a huge state fair. It happens for a period of about 2 weeks, and it's another one that I would highly recommend.
I remember getting a USA rail pass years ago and riding Amtrak from coast to coast. Is such an option still available?
It is still available. It allows you to travel to any of the 500 destinations that Amtrak serves. You can do 10 segments over 30 days and pay a single discounted fare. So you could actually hop on and hop off the train. And so a lot of people, you know, do it. It's very popular. It's a great way to see a lot of destinations.
Tell us more about New York by Rail travel packages, Tom.
So we started a travel package program working with a tour operator, and they are car-free experiences. So we've planned out all the details, and, you know, we have packages that go to places like Niagara Falls, Montreal, Saratoga Springs, the Hudson River Valley, among others. And so you pay one price, and it includes the Amtrak travel, the lodging, the attractions, and the transportation. So, you know, you just leave it up to us to take care of the details.
Okay. We're talking New York train travel with Tom Martinelli, and we're running really short of time. Go ahead, Mary Ellen.
Tom, what does the future of Amtrak and rail look like?
I think it's very positive. You know, as we talked about with the new administration, you know, Amtrak could get as much as $85 billion over 10 years. And so, you know, a lot of that would go towards capital improvements, expanding the service. So, you know, I think that Amtrak's going to, you know, be given a shot in the arm very soon. And I think it speaks well for the future of Amtrak.
That's great. And how do you develop your stories for New York by Rail, the magazine? Are some of them suggested by freelance writers like me?
They are. You know, we have freelancers, we have influencers and bloggers that, you know, pitch us all the time. We have an in-house team. We've been doing it for 18 years, so we have a pretty good sense of what our, you know, readers are interested in. But we like to focus on firsthand experiences so we could present to the reader, you know, like how it can be done to show them, you know, by example. So anytime someone can tell us, you know, pitch us a story about something that they want to do firsthand, those are the types of things that we're most interested in.
And how can listeners get a copy of New York by Rail magazine or subscribe to your e-newsletter?
So newyorkbyrail.com, all spelled out, and there's a subscribe button, so you can subscribe to the e-newsletter. There's a form, and we'll mail you a copy of the current edition of New York by Rail at no charge.
That's great.
Well, thanks to Tom Martinelli for being our guest on Travel Itch Radio tonight. Really good show, Tom. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Dan and Mary Ellen, for having me, and thanks for your interest in train travel and Amtrak. You know, if you're in the area, I'd love to show you around.
Sounds
it's a deal.
Great. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, same time, same station, same writer, same announcers. We'll talk with Misty Bells of Virtuoso about how to find a good travel advisor. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with my beautiful and talented co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.